Yes, our research fellow maybe unfortunately is unable to come, so I give a talk. But if you have any technical questions, we have a real expert, Tom Denman, in the audience. He can ask, he can answer the questions. So what I'm talking about is a snapshot of greenhouse gas emissions, the measurement, and of the all the sources from cattle feedlot. You can see all acknowledge all the co-authors contributed. So that's Melbourne University. We are in the most southern capital of Melbourne. We have to, because I'm paid by University of Melbourne, we have to advertise. We are number one ranking in Australia, ranking top 50 in the world. This is Australia, this is Melbourne. Very quickly, Melbourne, we have 23 million people, but we have 28 million cattle, 75 million sheep. So we have far more animals than human beings. But although Melbourne University ranking top 33 in the world, but the city of Melbourne ranking number one as the livable city. Quick introduction. The greenhouse gas emission from cattle, from cattle in total, it's almost 12% of Australia's national greenhouse gas emission. It's higher than transport. So that's how big it is. We only have 1 million in the cattle in the open intensive feedlot, but it's very intensive. You know, it certainly can emit into methane. Well, mainly it's methane, but also from animal, but also into methane from manure. But it's really large, the ammonia emission. And when ammonia redeposit into the surrounding ecosystem, it can some of them, like around 1%, can re-emit as N2O, we call indirect greenhouse gas emission. The issues, and because we don't hardly have any measurement, very few measurement. We have some measurement, very much, but animal pens, methane from animal, from ammonia from animal pens, but we have very few, hardly no measurement of the greenhouse gas emission from manure, from ponds. For national greenhouse gas inventory reporting, we need all the data. When we tried to do last year, we don't have data. We just use the default factor because very hard to measure the manure in greenhouse gas emission from manure. Worldwide, there are some report. Mainly, they artificially take the manure outside in a big chamber. They measure the N12 in terms of measurement under undisturbed conditions. Very few. That's mainly our purpose. Our purpose, can we measure all the emissions from all the sources? Use of different technology, open pass laser, FTIR, LIGO, quantum cascade laser. So this is a feedlot. It's about 300 kilometers and north of Melbourne, southeast of Australia, about 18,000 cattle. This is that's how big the manure and treatment, the manure processing area. All those animal pens, that's those where animal located, the area footer. That's about, when we did the measurement, about almost 18,000 cattle. But that is pretty big, average size in Australia. But compare what Tom and I, we visited Texas 2 years ago, this is small, fit a lot. And then we set up open pass FTIR, open pass laser, all different instruments, some instruments to measure the greenhouse gas emission from manure. Some is from the pond, ethanol pond, some tower from animals, some dams. That's how we did it. So I'm not going to all details quickly. Actually 17,500 and animal. Really big manure stockpile, 20 acres area. That's all the instruments we have used in the past. And for this one, and also in the last few years, use a quantum cascade laser, that's a new toy, LIGO, open pass, FTIR, lasers, closed pass. You know, of course, you need a sonic anemometer and a dispersion model we use. Recently, we integrate quantum cascade laser with a low speed, low height aircraft. We can do the airborne, plus the gradient equivalence. That's what it looks like. Flux tower. This is the when low speed, low height aircraft. We managed to integrate aerodyne quantum mechanical lens. This is a you can auto scanner FTIR open pass, can measure all the gases 7 times, ammonia, N2O, methane. This is the feedlock panes, and this is a open pass laser. So, some result. And this is the top table show you during that measuring the campaign period, 19 days, the average daily, the half of the lot, the dry matter intake, you know, about 17,500 cattle, how much intake, dry matter, crude protein, fat, all this stuff. And then the bottom table, yes, number of animals, and the average live weight of cattle, 400 kilograms. Weight gain per day, per animal, 1.5 kilo. I don't know this productivity compared with Texas. Is good or bad? And animal natural intake, that's what they're interested in. You know, like every day for the half feedlot, take almost a 4/10 pure nitrogen. Okay, emissions. Look at emissions, total emissions. Methane, ammonia, N2O. That's the kilogram per day, the molecular weight of the gas, not the pure nitrogen carbon. But two tenths of methane, 2/10 of ammonia, N2O, very small. Manure stockpile is a substantial emission from manure stockpile. Okay. And then per head emission, let's probably work. We will compare with our US colleagues here. I don't know how they're comparable. That's how much methane produced, emitted per animal per day. And ammonia, you see, ammonia is a large quantity. So for your information, Australia, we probably emit more ammonia than the US because we feed cotton seeds for energy, but cotton seeds has high protein content. So basically, the animal has been fed excessive protein. So that's why we have very high ammonia losses. And then manure stockpile, very significant. The pond, you know, it's dry season, not much at all. That's a total. And, okay, you can see a bit of a diurnal pattern. This is the top one is a diurnal pattern in the feedlot panes. So we've seen feedlot panes. So the blue one is methane. You can imagine that from feedlot panes, you know, 99% or probably or 99% in dry season, probably almost 100% are from enteric methane. So any fluctuation is something to do with animal patterns, physiology or eating pattern. And then green. Light green. It's ammonia losses. Ammonia, you know, we all know it's very much driven diurnal pattern, you know, very high and midday. It's a, you know, we know ammonia losses is physical chemical processes. It's driven temperature play very important role. Into a very small. And then this one is manure stockpile. Again, you can see really high. Methane, pretty significant methane emission. This is a methane, not from animals, actually it's from manure piles. So it's an anaerobic process. So therefore, either methane into ammonia, very much similar pattern the peak at the midday or late afternoon. Very much driven by temperature, and it's not much significant pattern. Very small losses from the pond. Okay, this one I already said. Just you know, you can see the emission rate and from feedlot pens. Look at ammonia, more like correlate better with temperature, Methane is not obvious into a very small. Feedlot pins. What's this one? This one is emission rate. This one is feedlot pins. I'm just want to what difference between this one, that one. Oh, this is wind speed. Okay. This side impact correlation with the temperature. This side with wind speed is obvious. Okay. Wind speed was what also especially for ammonia. And ammonia is a reversible and processes. Ammonia is the process. If no wind blow away, very little losses. It's different from methane. Methane is produced, cannot go back. The ammonia is reversible. If no wind blow, it will stay. It will the flux will be small. Okay. And then this is a preliminary result, and we were really pleased. We were working closely with Aerodyne and to modify the quantum calculator to be able to integrate to this low height, low speed small aircraft from Flinders University, and it worked. You know, we to our surprise, you know, it was a technical challenge, but it worked. We were very pleased. So, and also not only works in the very good sensitivity. This ammonia. Look at when fly different distance, it's kilometers away from feedlot. If we're closer, of course, you have much higher ammonia concentration, like 700, even 500 meters away from feedlot, you have 500 ppb. When it's 6.5 kilometers, you still can detect 25 ppb. Okay, and then look, this one is methane. You see, when I say low height, low speed, the speed we fly this aircraft, I was on this aircraft for an hour, get dizzy, sickness, almost sick. We fly very, very low, 80 meters above ground. You know, it's really scary, 80 meters. The speed is about 150 kilometers per hour, this kind of speed. So this is from 18 meters, and then to 32 meters, up to 310 meters, we still can detect that's in a peak, 40 ppb. That's a small aircraft, like a glider. Okay, here is the conclusions. Okay, as expected, in the cattle pens dominate methane ammonia emission from cattle pens because methane obvious from enteric. Ammonia from cattle pens, we know that when animal pee, the urea, and because we clear the manure every 8 weeks, the urea in the pee and hydrolyze into ammonia very quickly. So therefore, the animal pen still largest source of ammonia emission. N2O is mainly from a manure stockpile, and we also measured the significant fluxes and the methane from manure stockpile. And mine emission from methane ammonia from runoff pond. The significance is this. This is the first time, probably certainly in Australia, very few in the world, we managed in a 2 weeks campaign, we measure all the gases from all the sources, real time, and under undisturbed condition. That's the significance of this work. And then second message, I think you're well known, but in Australia, in this case, about almost half dietary nitrogen is lost as ammonia. And Australia, cattle feedlot, we only have 1 million, contribute about 2% agricultural emission. And then the low speed, low height airborne, we just tested, is capable to detect methane, you know, at least 25 kilometers. And away or downwind, and 7 kilometers downwind for ammonia. Airborne aircraft certainly has the capability, can be employed for regional, like larger dairy area, regional ammonia methane fluxes. Future work, you know, we now know 50% dietary nitrogen is lost at ammonia. It's air pollution, it's a nutrient loss. Can we mitigate it? And again, I emphasize this is 2 weeks campaign. Wood white, there are very few long terms. When I say long term, would we have 12 months, 1 year cycle measurement? Expensive. That's what we are determined to do. And look at the season variation. Look at ammonia deposit, because so much ammonia deposit emitted, where it's landed, where it's end up with, how far. Because it's a huge quantity. We're talking about like 2,000 or 3,000 tons of nitrogen lost per year, per less than 18,000 feedlot. Now, what's the impact on this surrounding ecosystem? This work actually just been accepted, published. In the environment quality. Last one, advertising. I really would hope you can come to Melbourne, Australia, for December next year, for the 7th International Nitrogen Conference. I'm the chair of the conference, the local chair. Thank you. Good question. I think it was too low because we did this campaign in the summer. Mm-hmm. In the summer, in the last part of Australia, the Mediterranean climate so dry. Mm-hmm. It's just bone dry, you know, basically. You wouldn't expect much. Certainly, there will be zero denitrification and maybe tiny bit of nitrification produced into it's a big area. If it's a chamber, we can detect. Yeah. If it's open air, it's almost a noise level.
Your ammonia emissions were only about 10% higher than our Texas emissions, and certainly within the range that we would see from being here.
Okay.
So, but the methane emissions were about 50% higher.
Really?
And
that's interesting.
And the only thing I did notice that you feed less fat in the diets, and
true.
And that may account somewhat for our lower emissions and your higher emissions. But it'd be good to look at those diet composition a little more carefully.
That's very good, Rick, because I will take the message back to our team. We have animal modeling people, because it really would be good to compare with your system to look at animal modeling.
Yeah, so you mentioned the emission rates of ammonia based on the amount of protein, the amount of feed. And I wonder if you have the data based on excretion rates, which is usually the way it's expressed, and also whether you've done a nitrogen balance to reconcile those numbers, because it would suggest that the manure doesn't have that much nitrogen left in it. And is that in fact the case?
I have another talk, but I don't think I have nitrogen balance, but we did nitrogen balance. I think about 70% the exclusion nitrogen lost as ammonia. 70%. I think less data. Yes, nitrogen balance, and we have a member in our team did animal modeling balance, and I think the nitrogen efficiency retained by animal only 8 or 9%.
So it means that more than all the ammonia was volatilized.
Yes, lots
of all the ammonia plus some of the organic nitrogen.
Because see, the environment in Australia, it's dry, open air, especially. Well, even in the winter, we still measured a lot of ammonia losses. At least in this particular campaign, 50% dietary nitrogen loss of ammonia. In the other 6 months measurement with Tamun, we did a few years ago, almost 70% dietary nitrogen loss of ammonia.
Thank you.